Our Lord is telling us we have to be perfect as God the Father is perfect. That is, not a bizarre, benign sort of Buddhist compassion on all, but a deep personal love for every single person on the globe and beyond the globe. Now we're told we have to imitate our Father. Do you realize what kind of holiness that is? And he doesn't say, if you're into this type of thing, or if you'd like to do that. He says, this is it. This is God, his own son, telling us. And so, we're in another one of these antitheses. Huh? You heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. There's no place you can find exactly that text, but it's implied in lots of places. You see, love your neighbor means love your fellow Jew and hate everybody else. Everybody did that. Love your fellow Assyrian and hate the Sumerians. Everybody did it. Because, humanly speaking, survival depends on us hanging together, no matter what, against all the world. Or our family against everybody else's family. The idea that there could be universal peace never entered anybody's mind before Jesus. Wars were like volcanoes and hurricanes and famines. They just happened. They're always going to happen. They're wars. The idea that there could be universal peace never crossed anybody's mind. And now you see it's still out there like this vague, ideal. I mean, we have the United Nations, which is supposed to be for helping peace and resolving conflicts. And the rest. And we're not doing very well. In fact, we're doing awful. How do we keep this? Well, we start with ourselves. You see, love your neighbor. Well, we already know how to interpret this part, right? We have the parable in Luke about the fellow who fell in with robbers. And the Pharisee went by, and the priest went by, and then a Samaritan went by. You know, it's like saying, and a Al-Qaeda guy went by. Not because the Samaritan would have been violent, but because he was so detested by the Jews, and vice versa. And here's one who doesn't do it. And then our Lord says, well, now who was neighbor to the one who fell among the robbers? He didn't say, you notice, you know, who's a Samaritan's neighbor? In other words, a neighbor in our self-centered world means I'm at the center and then I can move neighbor out, you know, if I'm really nice even to across the street, you know. Our Lord says, no, he's the center. Who was neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? So you see, I'm obliged to be neighbor to everybody. This is very demanding. In other words, frankly, we can't do it without the grace of Christ. And that grace, our Lord, is working in us every day if we're interested. We practice on little ones. She wasn't nice to me yesterday. Well, you ready to die for her? You know, he hasn't paid me back my money yet. Are you ready to die for him? You see, we have to take this seriously. But when he says, be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect, this is pretty hard. You know, God is perfect. He loves everybody, even those who are working against him. He loves his enemies. and is using his omnipotent wisdom and power to try to win them over before they spend eternity in hell. And we're supposed to be just like that. Love your enemies. Now, theologically, an enemy is not somebody I don't like. It's presumed we can get over our little emotional problems. You know, that's got nothing to do with this. You see, an enemy is somebody who wills evil to me. That's an enemy. Love them. Pray for those who persecute you. Right here in Washington now, we had to stop doing all sorts of things taken care of because of the city said, you've got to do certain things. And they knew in doing that, that we'd be forced out of like the orphanage business and so forth. They knew it. When was the last time you prayed for them? You see, this is a tough thing. But if you do that, you are children of your Heavenly Father. What is greater than that? And not just for the few years we're here on earth, but forever. Because after all, He makes the sun rise on the morning and He doesn't say, shine there, but not on that guy. Does He? No. You see? When it rains, it doesn't rain on our lawn, but not on their lawn. And then He goes through a little bit more. If you love those who love you, what kind of recompense do you want? Everybody does that. Everybody's nice to those who are nice to them. You know? Tax collectors, He picks. Our Lord is so delicate. He picks the tax collectors. Everybody hates the tax collectors because of all the mentioned before, the way they collect taxes. And they're working for the occupation forces. Don't they do that too? They say hi to all their friends. And do you greet all your relatives and stuff? And what's so unusual about that? The pagans do that. Family, family, family. If you've ever lived in the Mediterranean, you know what I mean. It's family. If I go to supper over in this house, in this family, and in the East, in this clan, these people over here will be my enemy the rest of my life. You can't go around to everybody to have dinner. You can, and that mixes everybody up. You know, should we hate this guy or love him? I mean, he's with us, but then he's with them too. You see? Everybody does that much. But you see, if you want to be children of your Heavenly Father, then you have to act the way He does. And that takes great discipline. It takes great love. It takes great death to self. It takes more than we have. Our Lord told that parable, you remember? The guy's going to build a tower. We'll make it a swimming pool because we're more used to that. He's going to put a swimming pool out in his backyard. So he starts and then he runs out of money. So there's a great big hole in his backyard and there they are. Everybody laughs at him. He says, before you dig that hole or build that tower, see if you got the resources. So before you embark on trying to be a Christian, see if you've got what it takes. That's why He's told us that. The answer is, I don't. Great, come to Me. I'll give you what it takes. The Father says, I'll give you whatever you need so that you can love the way I love. What a challenge, huh? I think I mentioned before, someplace in this country, when the newspaper, which is national, not just local, was just harassing, you know, twisting the news, doing everything against the church. And the bishop went and met with the editors, including the chief editor of the whole paper. And the chief editor said this to him, Bishop, you don't understand. We have an advocacy stance. You know, we're out to push our agenda. Don't you understand? We're not just going to tell all the news. We're going to put it our way because we have an advocacy stance. When are we all know that, but we won't admit it to ourselves because it means we can't get the news from the news. Some are better than others, Baruch Hashem. But do we love these people? Do we pray for them? And love doesn't mean have a gushy emotion. It means desire their eternal salvation and to pray for them. We have to take this seriously. We are called to be perfect like our Father is perfect. Well, we're never going to be perfect like God is perfect. But we can be perfect like God is perfect in having His sun shine on everybody, His rain fall on everybody, and not make distinctions, you know? This is a joke I'm going to end with because it's funny, I hope. This Jewish fellow was marooned on an island. He was there for years. Finally, they found him. And so he's taking them around. This is the house I built. This is where I live. You know, this is my synagogue. And that's the synagogue. They said, you're all alone. How come you got two synagogues? He says, this is the one I go to. This is the one I don't go to. That's the way we are.